Okay, our speaker is already in the podium, so we are ready to start the afternoon session. This is the last presentation that we postponed from this morning, the R&D for the ALICE photon spectrometer by Alexander Vodopyanov.
Good afternoon, dear colleagues. I will present a short presentation on our going on projects on the R&D on the ALICE spectrometer upgrade and report on the previous extension for 17 and 2018 and request for continuation for 2 more years. After this continuation, I think we will finish our work. So this is just to remind you of the LHC schedule. Now we are in LS2, or shutdown 2. There are still some number of years to run for all LHC experiments. So from the LS2, long shutdown 2, we will have an option of LHC, so-called high luminosity LHC. So there will be much more data provided by accelerator, and it means that the all four detectors on LHC should perform a number of upgrades, and ALICE is as well. And part of upgrade is upgrade of the redout system of almost all sub detectors. So we started work on the upgrade for redout system of photon spectrometer in 2012. Currently, force in ALICE is about 4,000 pieces of lantern state crystals of this size. Readout is done by Hamamatsu APD with a window 5 by 5 millimeters. Which forces runs at the temperature of minus 25 degrees with a stability of 0.1 degree. The purpose of upgrade is considerable improvement of the measurement performance and reliability of force. It will consist of the development of new photodetector and readout card. Current electronics has a number of shortcomings, so low time resolution, outdated element base, Ultra chip, which is a base for the readout of force, now not in the market and not very well suited for the photon spectrometer. Also, energy dynamic range and load characteristic doesn't match current capability of ALICE and for LHC. So on this slide, it is shown the time resolution of current time resolution of photon spectrometer obtained from the data. This is 3 to 4 nanoseconds. It is not very good. And the aim, our aim is the very beginning to improve this time resolution by order of magnitude. So we each from 2012 to 2018 we had six test beam runs at CERN accelerators and proton accelerator and SPS accelerator. This view of this experimental setups, test setups. During these years, we have tested different pieces, different components, photodetectors like APD of current size, 5 by 5 millimeter windows, Hamamatsu APD larger size, 10 by 10 millimeter window, and different types of CPMs. Also, we tried the combination for readout of CPM and APD. We stay in touch with the Hamamatsu representative in Switzerland, so we will in exchange with them the results what we have obtained with all new types of the CPMs or APD which we are buying from them. So these are some types of apparatus. We used the FOSS prototype, which is existing from the very beginning on FOSS. So in the test run in 2017, we have used the large APD for the measurement. This is a FOSS crystal with a readout card and APD glued to the crystal. So in the at that time, we have had a very preliminary new front-end card. So this is our apparatus on the beam. And what we have obtained in 2018, this is a energy resolution when using APD 10 by 10 millimeters. And we found also these are squares here. Squares. And the line is a fit of energy resolution obtained by the FOSS with APD of 5 by 5 millimeters. And you can see that the energy resolution is with a large APD is very well, well suited to the previous measurements. So it was also found that with a large APD 10 by 10 millimeter, we can run FOSS at the room temperature. This plus 17.5 degree was actual temperature, which was by itself, I think, a very good result. Regarding the time resolution, one can see that the with the energy of for 1 GV energy of the shower, we have a resolution quite lower than 500 picosecond, about 400 picoseconds. This is also very good results for this large window APD. So linearity of this Hamamatsu APD is also very well. So results of 2017 run that there was a solution found that allows to operate FOSS at room temperature. For this, it is necessary to change the small window APD 5 by 5 millimeters to APD with a window of 10 by 10 millimeters. At the same time, the energy resolution does not deteriorate, and the time resolution could be obtained less than 500 picoseconds at 1 GV. So a very preliminary front-end card version was tested in 2017. And it was decided and was clear that a new prototype of front-end card should be developed, and it was developed by JNR and our collaborators from Kurchatov Institute. So this is a team for the test beam. In the 2018, we have in the fall the test beam where we already use this again APD with large windows, 10 by 10 millimeter, and a new prototype of front-end card which was an 8-channel prototype. So this is a time resolution. As the one GV is well below 500 picoseconds. This is energy resolution. And this blue squares with a new prototype of the front-end card. It is even better than it was measured in the first during previous runs. So we found linearity also is very good. So we understood that we are on the right track, and the conclusion to the end of 2018 is the following: that we need to change the photodetector on the FOSS and have put a APD on 10 by 10 millimeter, which will run at the room temperature. So this achievement will greatly simplify the operation of the detector. It would be easy access to the detector, etc. So resolution, the time resolution is also quite good, which is better than 500 picoseconds at 1 GeV deposited energy. So the second is that the test of the new front-end card prototype for 8 channels was very successful. Excellent energy resolution obtained. So it is clear that the new front-end card 32 channels, which is must be used in the FOS, should be designed and constructed. And so and it should be done on the modern element base. So this card also should be made in accordance and acquainted with ALICE detector control system and detector acquisition systems. So this is our plan and our request for the park to improve this project for 2019-2020, and these are goals which will be achieved. So prototype of front-end card 2000 channel will, on the new element base, would be developed and tested on the bench, taking into account inclusion to DCS and DAC system of ALIS. So pre-production sample of this new front-end card 32 channel will be manufactured, and the set of documentation for the serial production of a FECT 32 card will be prepared. So, of course, the proposed development in terms of circuit design software radiology could be implemented for the NICA project or other detectors as well. We need some funding. The requirement for funding is 30 kilodollars per year. This is for mainly for material design. Thank you very much for your attention.
Very much, Alexander. So, any comments, Peter?
I'm pretty sure that you will find the new readout is better than the old one. My short evaluation, you have 10,000 roughly channels in FOS, and I cannot see less than 100 Swiss francs per channel, which means that if you want to update the readout of FOS and the detector, it will be 1 million or more Swiss francs. So where do you think the money will come from?
After we'll finish this project, we will present it to collaboration. Okay, I think you know the procedure. We will present it first to the FOS collaboration and then to the management of the ALIS. I think the cost could be less than the 100 Swiss francs per channel. We were buying this large Kamamatsu APD by about for a small amount. It was a cost of about 60 Swiss francs per channel per piece. And then, when you buy some a few thousand, it could be better. So we first will discuss within the FOS collaboration, and we'll discuss with ALIS management. This is standard procedure.
Any other comments or questions? I should mention that this project was reviewed, as usual, by two internal referees that are very supportive of the project. This proposal was also sent to one of the PAC referees that somehow missed the deadline. So, if there are no further comments, then we thank very much Alexander. Thank you very much. So now we move to the reports on ALICE, ATLAS and CMS, and we start with ALICE by Boris Baitunia.
Good afternoon. I present the new results obtained in the ALICE experiment with the participation of the GNR team. Sorry. Where I should put it? Here. Указатель. Спасибо. Так, нажимай сюда, да? And this is the map of ALICE collaboration. And at the time, we have this number of countries, institutes and members. Of course, there are a lot of members for this collaboration there. And this ALICE GNR analysis group, we have now six physicists, two PhD students, one undergraduate student, one expert for the root software, updating and grid computing management. But I would like to know that it only group for analysis. Because, for example, for previous report for the fourth upgrade, we have the other group. And this is the most activity of Dubna team. And the Bose-Einstein correlation, so-called femtoscopy physics, analysis of two charge cones correlation in proton-proton, proton-lead and lead collisions, updating the analysis software. ALICE group is responsible for the two Kevons correlation function. Quarkonian physics, creation and updating the special model using for an estimation of the detector efficiency and for understanding of J psi and epsilon production mechanism. Ultra-peripheral collision of heavy ions, study of germanium state and rho zero, mean vector meson for the production in the lead-lead collision. Tender polarization physics of vector mesons, together with the team of Safarik University Košice, Slovakia. And this year we prolonged our protocol according to this collaboration. Grid computing and software activity, of course, we continue this activity, and participation in the early shift. You see that 78 shift in this year. It is our GNR code. This is early setup for the our analysis. We used traditionally the central detector TPC inner tracking system and muon arm for the muon study, and also some trigger detector, ZDC, V0, and so on. And the first preliminary result of the 3D femtoscopic correlation analysis for identical cones pair production and P-lead, proton-lead collisions at this energy, and were obtained in the statistics of 160 million events of RAN2 in LHC. It is three times larger as compared with RAN1. I would like to know that it is the first preliminary, the first result for the proton nuclear, not only for ALICE collaboration, but also for other experiments. And traditionally, you can see that this is the correlation function is here, and this is a method of extract of correlation function for this ratio. This is a Q different of the momentum, and this is the member of this is the ratio from same and different mixed event respectively, and this is the equation for the correlation function, theoretical equation, so-called Boyle-Sinnikov formula, where K is Coulomb factor, and N normalization, and lambda is correlation strength parameter. The correlation function is shown here in this figure, and this is the this line. It is the fit from this equation, and you see that this is the radius which you can see here in this figure. It is a special in special frame and so-called Kamovian system, air out, air side, air long. It is just parallel to the beam, and we extract all these three radius, and extracted radius you can see here in these panels, and this is the air out, air side, air long for different multiplicity or centrality, how we call it for the nuclear study. And you see that this is the decreasing of the this radius for all three radius versus of KT. KT is the transverse momentum for pair. And this is just predicted radio behavior, and because you see also that there is a, this is the other open point for IPAS model. It is special hydrodynamic model and also the prediction for the decrease. This result results were reported in the ELIS femtoscopy meeting at CERN, because it, as I said before, it is a preliminary result. The next one, new preliminary results, and were obtained for by general group for femtoscopic correlation, but only for non-identical K pair, K plus and K minus collision for lead-lead at this energy, and compared with the model of Richard Lednitsky, Vladimir Lyubosets, and it is our colleague. And the results were reported in the International JDRE 20 workshop in Nantes, France. The correlation function you can see here in this figure in the these panels. And the point, blue point, it is the experimental data for this and this, it is the same. And the red line, it is the fit from the this final state interaction model. And the we use the two different fit, kind of fit for this experimental data. And the first one, it is the left panel, it is a new Dubna fit. We call it new Dubna fit with a traditional parameter for A0. And I would like to say that very important part of the strong final state interaction just is the contribution of A0 and A0 resonances and also the Fermion. And we use the traditional, this is the parameter for this A0 from these authors, and free parameter for F0 resonances, and with a good agreement between the prediction of and the experiment one. On this right panel, we used the old traditional, or we can call it former fit with traditional parameter of zero, Martin Achatov Antonelli's authors leads to some data model discrepancies, especially in this region. The new value of F0 width, you see that 7 MeV, was obtained from Dubna feed, in this left panel. This correspond to the result from BEST3 collaboration experiment, and 9.5 MeV, you see that very near within the errors particularly, which is smaller of the mean PDG value, 30-40 MeV. I think that it only did this very low result, very low width, and we also obtained something near. It is interesting because the theoretical explanation of the BEST3 result is the isotopic symmetry violation in the decay channels where it was seen. You see that this is the chain of the decay from the Jape side, and this is F0 is shown. And our result isn't under discussion because it is not so clear for the isospin or something like this one that there is a theoretical explanation for a BEST3 case. And it is our discussion now with Richard Lednitsky and with some also theoretician. And in this panel, you can see the radius which extracted from these seeds. In the left panel, it is the new Dubna feeds with a very good for the identical and non-identical pair, very good compatible between these results. You see that identical, it is the this is the point. And for open point, it is the for non-identical counts. And for a right panel, there is some discrepancies, visible discrepancies for a traditional former feed. And it is not clear with point of view of the theoretical model. And this is the prediction for the theoretical model. The next new preliminary result of the 1D femtoscopic, not 3, but 1D femtoscopic correlation analysis for identical pions and Keons pair production in proton-proton at the 13 ATV. It is the maximum energy for RAN2, now at the LHC, and obtained for the statistics 1.5 milliard event. It is the practically maximum statistic for the proton-proton obtained during the RAN2 with a fit of correlation function by the double exponential function. This is just a type of the double exponential function here. And you see here the correlation function, a traditional one. And this is for pine, this is for keons. And the line is the just result of the fit from the dysfunction. And in this right panels, in upper it is for pine, and louder it is for keons. You see that there is a two type of radius for different multiplicity. This is the smaller one, this is a bigger one, and also for keon it's smaller and larger one. And interesting theoretical motivation for the double exponential fit are two scales of radii according to the direct smaller radius and resonant decay larger radius for particles. For example, for this direct and resonance were predicted many years ago. And you see that it did 1992 by these authors. And the other explanation one pomeron for smaller radius or multi-pomeron for larger radius exchange mechanism, which considered in this theoretical paper. And we have the very small first radio for kaons. It is much smaller than for the pines. You see that it is the 0.2 Fermi. It is interesting because it is just near for the pine size. And it is under discussion. This is the result is under discussion now. This result were reported also in the Elysium Telescopic meeting at CERN as the preliminary one. Other new preliminary results were obtained with the GNR team participation for the vector meson rho 0 and J psi and psi 2s states coherent production. And coherent production, you can see this schematically here. When there is a gamma change and gamma through the pomeron just interact with the lead or proton and produced with production of the vector meson. And this is a typical this is the typical interaction for the this is a typical interaction for the ultra peripheral collision. And now we have a large statistic, and this is the our error bus is smaller one, and we can just study all contribution. You see in this picture the small, very small statistical errors, and the different contribution for the rho zero. It is the green. It is a bright signal for the resonance, and direct production for this yellow. And blue, it is the interference between these two, and just violet, it is omega reflection resonance here. In this figure, you can see the just total cross-section of production, rho meson in the proton lead interactions. You see that instead of lead, it is proton here. Our ELISE data is presented by green point, and there is other one, same as, and H1, Z, and you see that our this preliminary data is very compatible with the other ones, and this line, it is the fit result with single or double power function. And it is basically, it is very simple function, but the power of this function is connect to the some registry. Okay. Now there is the result of the grid participation. It is the not so large change from the last year. We have this number of cores and disk space and so on. It is our contribution for the Russia part of the grid. You see that for Dubna it is a 25% for all Russia contribution to the grid, and 5.6 of Russia contribution to the all grid in ELISE. And that's all our result, but conferences in the last year, you see that three contribution to the conference, two of the physics analysis and one for the grid contribution. This is the publication in the last year. It is the four publications with most activity of GNR. And other our scientific activity, it is the election of our colleague Lyudmila Malinina from Moscow University State as a ELISE convener of femtoscopy analysis team. I would like to say that a colleague should have a very very high level of the professionalism for this election, participation our colleague in the inner review committee for the different ELIF publication, again with a high professional state, and participation in 78 ELIF shift for the collection experimental data. This is a conclusion. The general ELIF team carries out successfully the physical analysis of the experimental data. All analysis results were reported in the international forum, and some finished one were published in the periodical journal. Some other publications are under preparation, and the general ELIF grid is going with good results. This is our plan for the next year. We should finish some of our study and go on a femtoscopic, a new one for 3D, 1D, 3D, again for a different type of the interaction. Go on the analysis JPSI in the ultra-peripheral, lead-lead collision update, support of the Quarkonia production and software and generator, maintenance of the ELIF grid, and also the preparation of document and reports for the JNR ELIF project prolongation, because our project is finishing this year. Thank you for your attention.
Comments?
Yes, please, Richard.
Boris, concerning ultra-peripheral production of vector mesons in lead-lead collisions, you mentioned reflection of omega meson. But you should see, if you have enough statistics, important contribution of pi plus pi minus decay of omega. So it is important contribution we saw in star experiment.
Okay, you see that it is omega reflection.
Besides omega reflection, you should have directly omega to pi plus pi minus.
This is a direct, it is a this here. You see yellow, it is a direct hour contribution.
No, direct. So you have raw decay into pi plus pi minus,
okay.
The green curve, and there should be shoulder, small shoulder due to omega to pi plus pi minus.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes, please.
Just on the same subject, if consider not only elastic production vector meson in ultra-peripheral collision, but production of meson associated with some pion of small invariant mass system, and if to compare this for raw and JPSI, this can be indication of large distance matrix element. So just and probably these data are coming anyway, so it's maybe another.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, there are no further questions, then thank you very much. And we now hear the presentation from ATLAS by Semen Tuschichin.
Good afternoon, dear colleagues. So I'm going to present the main activities and results from ATLAS experiment obtained with contributions from GINR ATLAS group. So this is the ATLAS experiment. It's a general purpose detector at LHC. And we recently finished a very successful period of operation called RUN2. And we collected around 114 femtobarn of proton-proton collision data, which is factors 5 to 6 larger than what was collected in RUN1. And these data are only in the very early period of its analysis, and the most of results to be obtained with this are still ahead. GNR is one of the largest participants of the experiment. We have more than 100 registered members of the collaboration, and important to note that we have around 27 PhD and master students are doing their studies in ATLAS. And here I also summarize the main areas of GINR contribution to ATLAS operation, physics program, and support activities. So I will try to cover most of the physics activities listed here. But first, let me start with a brief outline of our contribution to ATLAS upgrade. So this is the timeline of ATLAS operation. So now we are in the beginning of long shutdown 2. And after this, we expect the round 3, where the instantaneous luminosity will be quite increased with respect to what we have in round 2. So to exploit this increase in luminosity, and in particular to maintain reasonably low PT thresholds for lepton trigger at ATLAS level 1 trigger, it's important to develop a new detector and readout components. And this is the basic, basically the motivation for the ATLAS upgrade program during the so-called phase 1. And later, after the round 3, we anticipate the next major bulk of upgrades to achieve, which is referred to as the phase 2. So GINR participates in both of these stages of the upgrade program. I will mainly talk about the phase 1. And this includes introducing additional chambers to the forward muon spectrometer, upgrade of colorimetry, various upgrades of the level 1 trigger, and installation of the fast tracker, which is a hardware which will provide hardware tracker construction as input for the software HLT algorithms using those tracks. One important contribution of GINR to upgrade is the development of so-called muon new small wheels. These are to replace current end cap muon chambers known as MDT-SCSC, and located in these areas of detector shown here. And the motivation for this is the degradation of the performance of these MDT muon drift small chambers, as well as high rate of muon fakes in the end cap muon trigger, which are expected to be solved with these new small wheels. So basically, new small wheel module represents a micromegas panel intended for precision tracking, and STGC drift chambers for usage by the muon trigger. The schematical representation is shown here. GINR participates in the development of this block of large sector modules of new small wheels called LM2. And by now, we managed to produce the 20 panels for the whole year, and assembled five quadruplets, which is basically the entire setup of this module. And three of them are already sent to CERN. The assembly and production facility for these modules is located here in DLNP. Another contribution of our team to ATLAS upgrade is the development of tile colorimeter here. We participated in designing a new layout of readout fibers, performed a radiation test of new scintillators, in particular here at IBR reactor. And also we worked on the design of the new modules to cover an extended pseudorapidity range with these colorimeter modules, and 40 new modules have been already produced and transported to CERN. And we also participate in the liquid argon colorimeter upgrade program, which extends to both phase 1 and phase 2. Here the motivation is basically also to improve the level 1 trigger performance by enhancing jet rejection and pile-up subtraction capabilities. This is possible to achieve with a new design of shower shape estimators, which will provide factor 10 more granularity with this so-called supercell technology. So you can see it is going to help us to reduce the electron versus jet separation quite substantially. And in the last year, GINR team worked on simulation design and production of the shapers for hadronic and cap calorimeters. Okay, now let me move on to physics studies, and here I would like to start with some highlights of Atlas Physics results obtained with the participation of GINR team. The first of them is a recently published paper on search of Higgs to BB bar decay, with Higgs producing in association with W and Z bosons. This analysis was performed using 8 inverse femtobarn of the data collected in RUN2, and additionally a combination with other production and decay channels was performed, as well as combination with similar results obtained in RUN1. So the main result of this analysis is an observation of Higgs to BB bar decay channel at a significance of 5.4 standard deviations. And also the production mode, the VH, was observed with a similar significance of 5.3 standard deviation. The signal strength of both processes, of the decay and of the production of Higgs in this mode, is in a pretty good agreement with the standard model prediction. So further studies of these decay and production channels are ongoing, and we will participate in them as well. So the analysis of the full RUN2 data set is planned. Now let me move on to search for the exotics, and here I like to highlight another paper published by Atlas with our substantial contribution last year. This is a search for beyond the standard model resonances in the final state of heavy gauge boson or Higgs plus photon. The heavy bosons are identified in this analysis in their hadronic decays through so-called fed jet, or jet with a large width. So here you see the result of the this analysis, the invariant mass spectra of jet plus photon final state. The data is found to be consistent with the expected background, and the upper limits on the production of such exotic states are set in the ranges from 1 to 3 or 7 TeV, depending on the final state, as shown here. Now let me mention another ongoing search analysis for exotics. This is a search for so-called quantum black holes. These states are predicted in low-scale quantum gravity theories and aim to address a hierarchy problem by lowering the quantum gravity scale from the Planck scale to TeV region. And certain theories predict such states to decay into lepton plus jet final state, which is the object of study of this analysis. In order to keep the backgrounds for such final state under control, several control regions defined. You see the plots for control region enhanced with Z, W, and TT bar production, and the description of this background is pretty well under control. The data in the signal region, which is a high mass, is blinded so far because the analysis aims at full RUN2 data analysis, and the expected exclusion on such state is should be up to masses of 7.5 TeV. Now let me move on to more mundane physics. This is an ongoing search of W plus B-jet production, ongoing measurement of the W plus B-jet production measurement. Such processes represent a good test for predictions of perturbative QCD. Also, this is an important background for studies of processes like Higgs to BB bar and searches for various beyond standard model physics. This is a precision measurement, that's why it used only an early RUN2 data set collected in 2015 and 16. We exploit both electron and muon channels for Z and W decays, and we are going to measure inclusive cross-section for that or W produce it with at least one or at least two bijet, as well as various differential cross-section for certain observables. The analysis is very close to its finalization. So you see a selection of spectra here. Overall, it is compared to various existing prediction, and among the available generators, the Sherpa generator provides the best overall description of both inclusive cross-section and shapes, while for different shapes there are the description of different shapes by the generators can vary. A few words on the B-Physics, where our GINR team is also very active in ATLAS. I would like to highlight here two analyses, both aiming at confirmation of B sub C to S excited states. This is interesting because the first and so far the only observation of this new state was published by ATLAS using round 1 data like 4 years ago, and since then nobody else confirmed this. About 1 year ago, HCB published a paper where they claimed a non-observation of this state, which produced some tension with ATLAS results, and that motivates independent confirmation of existing of this excited BC meson. Such a confirmation can be done independently in two ways. First, we can use independent data set, and such analysis is performed by our team using the run one data, where it's basically a repetition of the same analysis using the same B sub C decay channel. And the other way is to use maybe the same data set, but independent B sub C decay channel. And this study is also performed by us. This is a search for the same state in run one data, so basically the same data set as before, but with a semileptonic B sub C decay mode. And this way we can also benefit from a factor 20 higher branching fraction for this decay. So we expect this analysis may have a better sensitivity than what was done in run one. It's too early yet to report the result. However, we hope to publish the result of this analysis before this summer. And the last study I would like to point out is SoftQCD Bose-Einstein correlation studies. The previous speaker has already said quite a lot on this topic. Basically, the main result of this study performed by ATLAS is confirmation of the saturation effect of dependence of the multiplicity on the Bose-Einstein correlation source radius. It was earlier observed by ATLAS with 7 GeV data, and now it is being confirmed with 13 GeV. And this analysis is expected to be published very soon either. And finally, we have a rather big theoretical team in framework, working in framework of our ATLAS group. And here I point out a few most prominent results obtained by this team. First is evaluation of the intrinsic charm component of proton PDF. From ATLAS measurement of gamma plus CJET production at 8 TeV, where an upper limit on the IC fraction was set. And also, hopefully, our team members will soon contribute to the experimental studies in the same direction. Then we have a team studying electroweak process calculations for LHC. In particular, they contribute to development of the SUNC integrator used by physics studies at LHC, both ATLAS and CMS. And they contribute a lot to work of LHC electroweak working group and contribute to preparation of CERN Yellow report on this topic. And finally, there was an interesting theoretical work on interpretation of ATLAS search for diboson resonances in framework of sequential standard model with additional heavy Z prime boson, where most stringent limits to date were obtained on the parameter of Z prime mixing, which were much improved with respect to earlier results from Tevatron and precision electroweak data analysis. So that's all about physics studies. Now let me just say a few words on our contribution to Atlas software support and development. And here I would like to highlight the event index software, which is an area where our software experts contribute. So event index is a system to index the data and Monte Carlo event for Atlas experiment. The storage of the index is based on the Hadoop system, and possible use cases of the event index are listed here. So these include event picking, selection and counting events based on their trigger decision, checking data integrity and consistency, producing overlapping matrices between trigger chains, for example, to optimize the trigger menu between trigger streams, to optimize the storage, and overall quick assessment of the dataset content. Our ongoing activities in this area consists of management of data indexing at grid site, decoding the trigger information in Monte Carlo, and overall monitoring of the performance of the event index, which is implemented by our team members using a modern platform based on Influx DB database and Grafana framework for actual monitoring. And for the plans concerning an update of the system towards the run 3 operation condition, include the migration the data storage to the new Edge-based database management, using these Spark and Impala technologies to improve the performance of processing data and user queries. And in principle, deep modernization of the event index system, including migration to a completely new platform, is also considered for now, but so far no much details can be given yet. And I should say that participating in this event index project opens a window to more and big data technologies, which is relevant not only for our Atlas prospects, but also it provides a general unique experience useful for other experiments or even educational projects. So this brings me to my summary. General Atlas team made a substantial contribution to a number of physics studies. In particular, we have two Atlas physics papers published in the year with a principal contribution of our team members, and currently more than 10 physics analyses are ongoing in our team. I also try to outline our participation in the phase one upgrade program, theoretical support of physics measurement, and contribution to the software support and development. Not all areas where we contribute were presented in this talk, so I'd like to take this opportunity also to advertise several posters which will be presented at the poster session tonight, which cover both topics which I covered in my presentation, as well as the last one, which is on low PT diamond trigger measurement, which I didn't talk about. So thank you for your attention.
Just to put things under perspective, could you tell us how many papers has Atlas published in 2018?
I cannot say precise number. I would say something around 50.
So you have 2 out of 50. Okay, good. Okay, no further comments, so thank you very much again. And we now move to the CMS presentation by Vadim Alexakhin.
Okay. Good afternoon. I would like to talk about GNR precipitation and compact muon solenoid. GNR topical plan contains two items, two projects, CMS and project upgrade of the CMS detector. Okay, the outline of my talk is the following. It's a GNR participation data taking and CMS operation last year, GNR participation in CMS physics analysis, computing and data processing, also participation in upgrade program. This is a schema of the setup, experimental setup. The GNR and RDMS takes full responsibility of the Forward muon stations IMEI-11 and NCAP hadron calorimeter ISHI. Round 2 data taking was successful. The LHC delivered 68 endos femtobarons and 64 was recorded by CMS. It's 94% data taking efficiency. And out of this, 95% of data, up to 95, were considered as certified and good for analysis. And GENER took 140 detector shifts. Many of them were remote. The sub-detectors, which we are responsible for, showed good efficiency, stability. This year, GNR took a leading role in the certification of the HCAL data. So the daytime shifts were covered by RDMS and GNR experts. Also, the full year data certification was done by GNR expert. 99% of the recorded data were good from the point of view of HCAL data quality. For the muon system efficiency was about 98%. And all the system showed 95% of good data certified for the analysis. During the run, the spatial resolution of muon chambers was determined. This plot shows the first 2 points are for the IMEI-11 chambers of two types, which GNR made. And these points show the good stability of the resolution through the last 3 years. And now I go to the physics results. This year, our group concentrated on the analysis of the data taken at 13 TV. The topics of the analysis were study of the Drill-Yan muon pair production to verify standard model predictions. Also, searches of the new physics beyond standard model was performed in the channel of the dimuon. It's so-called extra gauge boson Z prime was looked at, and TeV scale gravity in multiparticle production was looked at. It will be next slide. Here one can see the effective mass distribution of muon pair. Dots are data points, and the colored histogram is Monte Carlo, and the ratio. And this additional extra gauge boson with mass of 3 TeV would look like this resolution at least. However, the data shows that the mass limits are about 4 TeV, so no signal was found for the Z prime boson. For the Kaluza-Kryon graviton, mass limits are from 2 to 4 TeV. And there is a published paper on this. Search for new physics with multi-jets, so-called microscopic semi-classical black holes, were looked by analyzing the distribution of some of the transfer energies of objects like jets, photons, and leptons, and also missing ET was summed. Our data shows that we can exclude minimum microscopic black hole mass from 7 or 10 TeV. This plot, this is the limits, model-dependent limits, and these are model-dependent, the function of the Planck scale. Okay, so the GNR participates since long in this analysis, and we have young students participating in this as well. Okay, this is search for low mass resonance. Our group contributed to search for the low mass resonance in the dimuon pair in the events with big quark jets. Two types of events, two classes of events, kinematically, topologically different, were analyzed. And at two energies, the upper plot, there are two event categories for 8 TeV data and below 13 TeV data. And for 8 TeV data, for both event categories, there was 4.3 sigma excess, about 28 GV. However, for 13 TV data, there is some 2 sigma excess for the first event category, and there is a deficit even for second event category. One could expect that going from 8 to 13 TV fiducial cross-section should change maybe 2 times. However, it's not the case. The present status is that the data are published and there is no realistic signal model, so there is no explanation. Probably more data and more theoretical input will help to clarify the situation. This is analysis of charged particle multiplicity in jets in CMS. In two types of jets, mean the charged particle multiplicity were analyzed, so-called W jets. This is TT bar channel. This should be quark jets enhanced here. It's hadronic decay of the W jet. And the so-called fifth jets should be gluon enhanced jets. This plot shows the charged particle multiplicity for both types of jets, W and fifth type jets, for data and for Monte Carlo, as a function as PT of the jet. And this is the difference between W and fifth jets. So this is practically the difference for quark and gluon enhanced jets. What is important, there is a difference clear between data and Monte Carlo. So these are preliminary results, and preliminary results, so work is going on. This, but it's already interesting, this difference. Okay, these are radiative corrections for the Drellian process. There is a program ready used for this. It is developed by RDMS and GNR members. And this is a correction for the Drellian cross-section as a function of mass, d-lepton mass. And this is a correction for the forward-backward asymmetry. Few words about computing and reconstruction. So there are TS1 and TR2 sites in GNR. Of course, we need this for the storage of the large amount of data, for the processing of the data, for the reconstruction. These tiers perform stable and relevant. They help us, our physicists, to our job. And for example, the GNR Tier 1 provides 13% of the whole Tier 1 CMS performance in the completed jobs fraction. For what concerns Tier 2, it's 60% of the all RDMS Tier 2. So the summary of the physics results is 3 published papers and 3 analysis notes finished. There are a few review papers and 19 talks on the CMS title, and 5 of them were done by PhD students. Data at 8 TV already published, except this charged particle multiplicity study. Okay, the schedule of the LHC at CMS, probably okay, everybody knows. So the next long shutdown, it will be the end of the phase one upgrade of the experiment, and we will have run three years. And long shutdown three, this is so-called phase two upgrade, and we will enter the high-limit LHC era. A few words about participation in the CMS upgrade program. This year, technical stop, it is January to April of 2018. So the upgrade of the HE clarimeter electronics was completed. Silicon photomultipliers were installed. There will be in next slide more detailed. There is a participation in the phase two R&D program. It concerns new NCAP hadron calorimeter, scintillating part, and also legitimacy test for the forward muon stations for the high-limit LHC conditions. Phase one upgrade of HE was finished. New electronics was tested, installed, commissioned, the gain was leveled, and with sourcing, this commission showed that NCAP is ready for the data, and also during the run, HE showed, HaloClimeter showed good running. These CPMs have higher gain, more stable for the radiation. Okay, so it's a good result of the phase one. I'm great for this issue. This is studies of the special resolution stability for the muon chambers, the cathode street chambers installed in the setup in the NCAP. This plot shows that if the background rate changes from zero to the high luminosity conditions, the resolution of the cathode chambers changed just by 10%, from 60 to 65 microns. So this is just shows what will be the background rate for the HLC. And this plot shows resolution stability in terms of accumulated charge. So there is, it's not worse at least for the high luminosity LHC accumulated charge. So it's good longevity. Research program for the new hadron NCAP calorimeter, so-called high granularity NCAP calorimeter EGCAL. This includes understanding of the present performance of the scintillators of the present HE calorimeter, investigation of new materials, new electronics, and development of the detector prototype. This example plot, it's an in-situ measurement of the absorbed dose in the scintillators of the HE. This is a determination of the dose constant of the radiation damage for the present scintillator as a function of the dose rate, which is not constant, depends on the place where it is in the detector. This is a schema of the EGCAL calorimeter. It is equipped with silicon sensors. However, farther from the beam, close to the beam, we have farther from the IP, close to the beam, we have silicon sensors and farther scintillator. So it's called mixed cassette. So with the silicon and scintillator here, and this is a prototype of the segmented tile of the scintillator. These are dimples for the SIPM housing for the readout. Okay, EGCAL software also participate in the study of the resolution study on the validation testing of the reconstruction software, various resolution, angular energy resolution for EGCAL, independence on various conditions were studied. This plot shows the photon pair separation, closed photon pair. This is just pair separated in space by 3 centimeters. So this is one event, and these are 1,000 pairs. One can see how well they are separated. This is example of the transverse segmentation optimization. The VBF jets reconstruction efficiency and purity, times purity, is used for optimization, and they are just segmentation, the granularity of the segmentation with step and pseudo rapidity and degree. So just one times this step times some factor, and one can see how the performance of the calorimeter changes. Look for the option. In summary, data taken at 13 TV up to year 2017, we analyzed by its 220 papers from the whole CMS for this data. GNR participation in CMS was successful. Phase one upgrade of HE was finished. Our physicists are involved in the whole CMS chain from data taking shifts and to final data analysis. We contributed in 6 physic analyses. This includes 3 published papers and 3 CMS analysis notes. Review papers, 19 talks were done, and young physicists also involved actively. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? Nothing? Okay. So thank you again.
Thank you.
we now have a scientific report, a description of meson production in electron-positron annihilation and tau lepton decays within the NGL model by Andrei Arbuzov.
Good afternoon, everybody. So I would like to tell you about a series of works performed in the group of Professor Mikhail Volkov. And yes, the subject is a description of processes with light mesons. And the plan of my talk is as follows. First, some motivation, discussion of experiments which we have in this area. Then, in brief, about the model which is used. Some results is the main part of my talk, and some conclusion. Everybody knows that strong interactions at low energies are not suited to be treated in, say, fundamental way with QCD. So we need some models. And I will describe how we treat processes at energies up to about 2 GeV. And this study has several purposes. One of them is verification of the famous, very well-known Nambu-Yuan-Lozinian model on a new class of tasks for it. And so this model is, of course, an effective model. So its area, domain of applicability is limited, and we should define it, we should know it. And of course, it is done not for theory only, but mainly for support of current experimental problems at accelerators. And besides description of already measured processes, we construct predictions for future experiments. And besides discussing some standard things, we can find some deviations and pinpoint some exotic mesons, exotic interactions in this domain. And of course, we should keep in mind that our general aim is to learn something about strong interactions at low energies, so about confinement, about appearance of QCD energy scale, about chiral symmetry breaking, and so on. So just a short list of a plus and minus accelerators at the energies from, say, 1 GeV to a few GeV. And with stars, I put names which of accelerators which were shut down recently. But still, we have a number which are working and are planned. And I should mention a very important project at Novosibirsk. It is super Charm Tau factory, and we hope that it will be supported, and in the near future, it will start construction and operation. So it is so in luminosity, it will be exceed the analogous Beijing machine by up to 2 orders of magnitude. So I thought that we will work at those energy range, and this energy range is really very interesting because it is just the non-perturbative domain of strong interactions where we have puzzles. It is not yet resolved, so and also for practical applications, we need to study it carefully. So for instance, annihilation of electron positrons into hadrons is used to extract hadronic vacuum polarization, and the main uncertainty in this vacuum polarization is just coming from the energy region below 2 GeV. And another point of my talk is discussion of hadronic tau lepton decays, and it is an alternative way to extract vacuum polarization. So they should be matched, they should be in agreement, and we try to also describe them in the same model. And knowing, say, hadronic vacuum polarization is important for many observables from low to high energies, and in particular for the anomalous magnetic moment of muon, and for many other high precision tests of the standard model and, say, QED. And some time ago, in 2010, we participated in working group who and we issued a very important review in this subject, how to provide high precision for hadronic cross sections at low energies. So Monte Carlo tools versus experimental data. So, and then in the list of experiments I mentioned, there were some which had energies above, say, 2 GeV, for instance, B-factories. But now we know that B-factories can provide very important experimental data on low energies, and that is actually done with a method of radiative return, which is very simple. We just emit a photon from the initial state and effectively lose energy and come back to low energy scale. And actually, the idea to apply this method at electron-positron colliders was first suggested in our paper by, with Eduard Kuraev, Nikolai Mirenkov, and Luka Trentadue in 1998. And now it is a standard method which is used at all electron-positron colliders. So, just a brief about the model. The model is very simple. First, it was suggested by Nambu and Yuno Lazinio to describe how can it be that proton is heavy and pion is light. And it was based on current by current interaction, so it is a kind of four-Fermion interaction, like in the Fermi model of weak interactions. And it was supplied by the chiral symmetry, so interactions of Schaller, S for Schaller currents, was with the same coupling constants as for pseudo-Schaller currents. And then it was suggested in 1961, and because this spontaneous breaking of chiral symmetry was just exact, the pion was massless in this model. Sometime later, it was understood that this model can be upgraded to become phenomenological, and the first step was done by Japanese physicists Yaguchi and Kikawa, who suggested to take into account the non-zero current quark masses. And this idea was then realized by Mikhail Volkov and collaborators, in particular with Dietmar Ebert, in really phenomenological model, which describes a lot of mesons at low energies, then decays, mass spectrum, and interactions. And now we checked this model in many places. We see that it works very good in most cases. In several cases it fails, but we know the reasons, and I will mention some. And then we know that, of course, QCD should be there. And a relation between this phenomenological model with the, say, more fundamental QCD Lagrangian is non-trivial. But it is still possible. There were some approaches to derive this effective model from the fundamental QCD Lagrangian. In particular, I can mention work by Boris Arbuzov, Mikhail Volkov, and Ivan Zaitsev in 2009. So, but that was history. And I will describe now results which were done in a particular extended version of this model, which was done to describe, the, include first radio excited meson states. And we know that those states just have masses, say, from 1 to 2 GeV. That is a new region for this model and not very clear region for the strong interactions. And to introduce these radio excited states, we put in the model a very simple form factor in the polynomial form of the second order with two coefficients, one in front of the form factor, which say provides mass for excited state, and this d constant is the slope of the form factor, and it is negative, and in a sense it means that if you integrate over the momentum for this excited states, for form factors appears for excited states, The integral gives you zero, so there is a positive part and negative part, and so this excited state doesn't affect all, ground state properties. Actually, there was just a condition that inclusion of higher order states doesn't change the quark condensate value. And this model was introduced in 1987, and then it was successful in description of the spectrum of first radio excited mesons and their decays. But now we will try to describe meson production in E plus E minus and tau decays, which is a bit more involved problem, and but still we can try to do it. So the Lagrangian of interaction consists of the standard model Lagrangian. For instance, we need weak decays, so it includes electroweak interactions and includes interaction of quarks with photons. And the non-Bionoisinium Lagrangian, which now includes ground state mesons. Here is 4k on n k prime for the first radio excited states. And the technicality of the model then includes some factors before this k and k prime a and b, which include some theta angles. These angles actually describe mixing of those states. So the states have the same quantum numbers and they can mix, and mixing is described by this. What is important is that interactions of this, say, here kaons with quarks, so it is a quark meson model, is automatic. It is fixed from is fixed before we start considering some interactions. It is fixed from the model parameters, from say masses and the standard model, standard NGL model. So, for instance, let us look at the process of E plus E minus to K plus K minus, very standard process, and still is very interesting. And here we have automatically we generate several contributions to the amplitude. We have exchange of photon, rho and rho prime, omega and omega prime, phi and phi prime. And so a photon exchange diagram is given here. So we have a quark loop and kaons coming from this loops, from this loop. And we have vector meson contributions. So rho prime is the first radio excitation and so on. And we have six contributions and they're systematically described and a bit cumbersome, but everything is quite simple. And here you, of course, recognize Breit-Wigner propagators of these vector mesons. So this process was, of course, measured many times, and there are recent measurements by Novosibirsk and Babar collaboration. Here it is, was 2013. And here is comparison of our theoretical result, the line with experimental data from Babar and to Novosibirsk collaboration. And we see a very good agreement at the phi peak. So phi peak is here. And we have some reasonable description at higher energies. And then we see some considerable deviation at the end of this plot. And actually, we very well understand that here the second radial excitation of rho meson, rho 1700, should be taken into account. Here is the same just for the peak, and here we have a perfect description of the phi peak. And then we can compare with not only with the experiment, but also with other theoretical papers. References are here. And we have we can compare channel by channel, and we have some agreement or deviation, some in the structure of which meson contributes more. But in general, there is, of course, you can see that this model doesn't describe all details here, right? And it doesn't pretend to describe all details. It is a kind of very simple but very effective model. It has very few parameters, and we do not try to fit them for at each other task. So if we go to describe k plus k minus, we use the same set of parameters if we would describe, say, pi plus pi minus or other process, or say tau decay. And then, for instance, here we have interesting process of a plus or minus to pi zero gamma. So it is a kind of first case when you can transmit from electrodynamics to strong. So actually the cut doesn't start from two pion masses, but it starts from one pion mass plus, say, zero photon mass. And of course we have here several peaks, and here is a rho omega peak, and here we have a phi peak, and our description of experimental data is quite good, and above phi meson we have some prediction which can be verified. And here I have a list, not complete, but representative for a process which we describe in the model well during, say, last, say, 9 or 8 years. And we systematically considered processes of starting from, say, two pions, and we include also excited pion states. And here we have a good agreement with experimental data, and here we have a list of processes which we predicted, which were not yet measured, but cross sections are not small, and in near future they can be measured, and they should be measured. Actually, it is important to know all such processes. Let us switch to tau decays. Actually, we use the same model. But here, of course, you have a part of weak interactions, and here we have we draw W boson, but actually at small energies, just Fermi interaction can be a four Fermi interaction can be applied. And again, here we have a kind of contact term where the W propagator is attached to the quark loop, and say, a vector meson exchange when the W boson first through a quark loop is transferred into vector meson here, rho and rho prime, and then this vector meson interacts and decays and produces other states. Here is rho and eta meson. And so the model automatically generates all contributions with fixed coefficients, and we can compare the branching ratio for this process, which is 1.44 times 10 to minus 3, with the experimental data, which is 1.39 plus minus 0.1, 10 to minus 3, so we have a good agreement. And here is another decay where, which has more complicated structure for vector meson, intermediate vector meson contributions. Here we have K star and K excited K stars. So, and here in this process we have model prediction, model result, and we have several experiments. For branching, it is quite in a good agreement. And we can compare also differential distribution in the invariant mass of eta and kaon, which looks like this. So it has two peaks. And we cannot say that we describe it very well, but of course, experimental results and experimental points are not enough precise. It's better to have a better measurement. And we have also a prediction for eta prime kaon production. So our prediction is 1.2 25 times 10 to minus 6, and the current experimental limit for this eta prime production case is 2 times bigger, so we hope to it can be, this process can be measured soon. So here is a list of tau decays described in the model during this the period of, say, 8 years. And here is the branching fraction for a particular decay received in the model. And here is experimental value. And sometimes experiments are still absent, but we have predictions. And in most cases, we have good agreement. With precision of about plus minus 10%, we agree. Or sometimes experimental precision is not good, and we just agree. Let us look at certain this process. Tau to eta pion plus neutrino. It is so-called second-class current process. So it is very much suppressed. And current experimental situation gives you only upper limits on these processes. It is very important to provide reasonable, say, good experiment theoretical predictions for such processes. Because if you look for new physics, you look not only at higher and higher energies like at LHC, but you look also at rare processes, where standard physics is suppressed, but new physics might be not so much suppressed, and you can see some effect. And our model provides quite reasonable, quite well-established predictions. And the small value here is proportional to just the difference of the light down and up quark masses. So this difference is just about, say, 3 MeV. And this if for zero, for if the up and down quark would have the same mass, this process will be absent in the model and maybe in physics. But maybe some new physics will provide deviation. So we considered a lot of processes. We made some predictions which can be tested. But we learned something back for our models. And in particular, we learned something about very famous, very well understood, very much used, so-called vector meson dominance hypothesis. And actually, it is it's very simple. It says that if, so you have, for instance, electron-positron annihilation, a photon, which is intermediate state, doesn't interact directly with, say, mesons in the final state. It interacts through raw meson. So and so you have just one amplitude, E plus and minus go to raw meson, and then raw meson, say, decays into pions. And this was first introduced by Sakurai in 60s and used very much. But in the Namu-Yanoazinian model, this vector meson dominance, say, formula, which describes it, appears automatically, but only for ground state mesons. But if you go to higher states, now we go to first radio excited states, it fails. And you should consider also, formula is different it's not direct generalization of, there is no direct generalization of vector meson dominance for excited mesons. So, I come to my conclusions. The group of Mikhail Volkov in this new stage of development of the model, doing application of this model, published about more than 30 journal papers. Process was treated systematically, not just we like this process, we don't like this process, and we received predictions for future experiments. And we see that this extended Namu-Yanoazinian model is quite successful. Of course, it is not, again, repeat, not precise. It has not so much parameters. We do not change parameters for each process, but it provides reasonable predictions at energies up to 2 GeV. At high energies, higher meson state should be taken into account, and we do not pretend now. So, but there are also certain problems or interesting observations, and not only heavy exotic mesons do exist, but also there are some light exotic mesons, and there are some doubts about the nature of, say, eta 1405 or A0 980 or A1 1410, F0 1500. All this here we can discuss existence of glue balls, admixture of tetra quarks to quark antiquark states, and it is very interesting to see that what happens. So if the model describes well quark antiquark states, so it fails, at least so precedence is not good if you try to treat those light mesons. And situation with this, not only this, but several light mesons is not yet resolved, and very interesting to know their nature, their structure. This model continues to be applied. Not all tau decays were considered. So decays with axial vector currents are very interesting, and it is in near future. But also there are some lessons about theory. We see that this model very efficiently describe chiral symmetry breaking. So it is based on chiral symmetry, and the breaking is spontaneous. So in a sense, the symmetry continues working in the broken stage. And it is also interesting that this model says us something about energy scale of QCD. So this scale of a few hundred MeV really is the key scale of this model, and we can look for different relations. And what I described is only one branch of this model. This model has many branches, and it is used in many cases now, for instance, in description of hot dense matter or neutron stars, and many other applications are possible. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions, comment, Laszlo?
If you have such a rich spectrum, why don't you try to put the resonances on rigid trajectories? This would give another view dimension to the spectroscopy.
Yeah, thank you for the question. Actually, yes, we have. So this model now describes four nonets plus four nonets of mesons for ground states and four nonets of mesons for excited states. And we can go further. And then we meet the problem that, of course, to go further, we need to upgrade. We introduce some additional parameters. And we can fit these parameters to describe rigid trajectories for higher states. But then we lose our, say, simplicity and predictivity, predictive power. But still, it is possible and very interesting. Maybe in future we'll do it.
You don't lose, just combine. You will not lose.
Yeah.
You mentioned as exotic meson F0 1500. Why you do not mention F0 980?
Yes, good question. So this 1500 is, by many groups, is treated as a candidate for, as a glue ball candidate. F0 F0 980 is described more or less good with this model, more or less good. So then we see that maybe it's not a pure quark-antiquark state, but then the admixture of, say, four quark, tetraquark state is not so large, so it is more or less good. Yeah.
Okay, last question, Jean.
I'm not sure, I don't know if you're aware that Ali's experiment has recently published a paper about K0 short K-plus correlations that provides some additional evidence that A0 may be a tetraquark.
Yes,
one of the
A0, yeah. Yes, we know, we're aware about this result, thank you. And A0 is a candidate of tetraquark, and it is interesting to learn, yeah.
Okay, Jean.
Okay, I'm not sure if I remember correctly, so I may be wrong here, but somehow I remember that NGL does not have quark confinement.
Yeah.
So yes. How do you work with that? How do you understand that?
Yeah, yes, exactly. So I didn't mention, but it is very, say, old point, and the answer is as follows. Yes, if we draw a quark loop, and quarks are, so then you can cut this loop and you have free quarks. But in the model, it is overcome in a, say, by hand. It is not like introduction of, say, confinement potential. It is in, done by hand. We say that external momenta are zero. We work in, say rest mass frame of all parts, and then kinematically, and then we drop the imaginary part of the loop. So it is a kind of effective treatment of confinement, but it doesn't help to understand it. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much for this presentation. We have now a coffee break for 20 minutes.